It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Taqueria Sarandas in Cyprus. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce.
Left here at Taqueria Sarandas. We're in Cyprus. We're at the location that's off of FM 529. Come out here, join us. And even if you aren't going to make it here by noon, still stop by. I mean, look, the food is the draw. The food and the drinks, whether that be of alcohol, the alcoholic variety, because they got a great sports bar here. Maybe you just want a giant glass of orange juice.
We'll leave at noon, but they will have food.
The food will remain
until 10 p.m. No, midnight.
They close at midnight tonight.
Midnight tonight.
So whether it's
I can see the hours right here. I don't know that off the top of my head.
I'm looking at them right now as well. So whether it's now, in 30 minutes, or at 5 p.m.
12 hours.
Whatever it is, just come out here and get you something to eat. And, of course, you can come out here tomorrow as well because college football will be going on. We got Mizzou versus Oklahoma. Hell, Gil, who's out here, asked us about the line. It opened at 9.5. It's now 6.5. I've not seen anything where Bo Prabula is going to play in that one.
Yeah, I think he was listed as doubtful.
Doubtful, okay. So
on at least one of the injury reports I saw.
So their starting quarterback, the transfer from Penn State, probably won't play in that one. But I think that's upgraded to questionable yesterday.
Oh, upgraded. So I love upgraded to questionable. That's a great upgrade.
That's a basketball thing for a lot of time. And once a guy gets upgraded to questionable, he's going to play.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works for college quarterbacks who go to Missouri. But if he does play, it certainly opens up the real possibility of an upset because maybe that's why the line switched from 9.5 to 6.5 because the thought is that he will play.
Yeah, and it has. I think it's bounced around because it's going off of like the winds of rumor and like did this guy practice? Is he ready to go? Kind of stuff. I don't know. I just generally I don't think it changes too much how I think about this game. I mean, at least how the game will look when you turn it on Saturday. It's going to be a defensive game in my mind. Like, I can't really – I mean, maybe other than pick sixes for Oklahoma or for Mizzou, I can't really see, like, this really turned into a shootout. Both teams are moving the ball well. I feel like this is going to be a game that's really just played in a phone booth, which is what Oklahoma does.
Yeah, and the question is whether it be Zollers or Prabula, can that quarterback avoid the mistakes that sets up Oklahoma's defense – to score themselves like they did against Alabama or to set their offense up to probably not convert into a touchdown.
Kick a field goal. Texans football.
Yeah.
That's what they play. I mean, honestly, Oklahoma does play
a bit of a version of Texans football.
Swarm.
And it's led to them being now, as long as they went out, being in the playoff. And certainly there are going to be a lot of teams around the country rooting for Mizzou because Oklahoma being where they are is probably the surprise considering what we thought going into last week with them on the road at Alabama and the result that Alabama still winds up at 10 certainly hurts the team's hope that we're rooting for that Oklahoma loss. Not only do they win, the team they beat still stays ahead of you.
Yeah, so you don't get the like, well, we moved up one, like net. It's like, no, you kind of net are the same. Or actually, you're minus one. Yeah,
there are now two teams who are in line for the playoffs where they're just the one at the time. And USC-Oregon may be falling into that same category depending on how it goes. Because if USC wins a close one versus Oregon, Oregon doesn't have the same resume.
I was
going
to say,
Alabama did.
Oregon's going to have – they're going to get hit with the who have they beaten.
Yeah.
I mean, Iowa's the best win.
Yeah, and Iowa's now, what, at four losses now?
Yes, I believe so.
And Oregon – well, it depends on who the committee member you talk to is, because I guess some of them are still giving them credit for beating Penn State before they fell apart.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. That is something that whatever Bozo 80 was the public. Who had the humiliation ritual of having to answer questions on the ESPN set. Yeah. He at least said that they're still giving them credit for being Penn State because they were good. But then there's a different one where they're not giving – a team. Oh no, they're not. I forgot what it was.
Where
they're
talking about.
They're like knocking a team because they haven't. Yeah. I mean, breaking news. The CFP gave a hypocritical answer. At least we're talking out both sides of their mouth on the broadcast. That's why I don't really watch the broadcast. I can just give me the rankings. Give me the sheet of paper.
I can see the rankings, then yeah. Maybe a clip.
I need the rankings, and then I need the bracket. That's all I want to look at. They're just going to rank teams how they want to rank them. That's really how all it boils down to is they can throw out the numbers, they can throw out, you know, game control, they can throw out FPI, whatever. I think Alabama's better. I think Alabama's better. I think Notre Dame's better than Miami. But, sir, they played. I think they're better.
They're not in the same tier. And, yeah, they beat them head-to-head, but...
And there's two teams. My favorite thing, they're not in the same tier. There's two Utah teams in between them. If there was only one Utah team in between them, are they in the same tier? If they're right next to each other, are they in the same... At what point are they in the same tier?
The rule or the guidelines are if the teams are ranked within three spots of each other, they are now in a position where you can debate their status.
Okay.
And what... As you say, what Bozo AD said on Tuesday.
Hunter Yurchek said. I hope you hire a good coach.
was that if Miami gets the help they need and continues to win games and they wind up closer to Notre Dame, then head-to-head will play a huge part. Mm-hmm. Question will be, how much help does Miami need before you guys actually want to have that discussion?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like if Oklahoma loses a close one, will they still be ahead of Miami because you don't want to have the discussion?
Yeah, it's like mousetrap. You know, yeah. Like you have to do this and then this. It's a Rube Goldberg machine of how can Miami move up two more spots to where their week one win against now a top 10 Notre Dame team actually matters.
Yeah, it means more than Notre Dame losing to Miami.
Because otherwise, they, you know, so what's the point of playing it?
The stance is, at least right now, is Notre Dame losing to Miami has more significance because it's one of two close losses.
Yep.
Than Miami losing to SMU and Louisville, who, you know, 7-1 teams in a conference not a lot of people respect. So the best thing that could have happened to Notre Dame is Mario Cristobal taking his foot off the gas and turning that game into a close one. Because if it's 28-10 at the end of the day, because you score another touchdown, Notre Dame kind of loses all their game plan stuff, and they have to start throwing the ball all over the place. It doesn't work out. Then you're having a real conversation if they're still that distance. But right now, they're very comfortable with that. So those are a couple games. The Oregon USC game is one you can look at in that 2:30 window. As far as
those are the
CFP
two best
type deciders. Old Mizzou, as I said, playing spoiler. If you're looking for some Schadenfreude material, it would be James Franklin being in the building with all his Penn State recruits at Virginia Tech. He has been hired by Virginia Tech. It's a big recruiting weekend for Virginia Tech. All of a sudden, it's being purely supplemented by Penn State commits. They're going to be there. So a game that probably would have been a dead environment, maybe there'll be people in the building because James Franklin may make an appearance and maybe speak. I don't know how they'll do it. I don't know if they'll treat it like basketball where the guy comes out and speaks during a quarter time break or something, whatever. But he'll be there. The recruits will be there. The question is, does Virginia Tech's team care? And if they do care, then maybe you get a situation where all this conversation about Miami doesn't matter because they get upset by a really bad football team.
Yeah, there's two things. I mean, there's a lot of things at play, but there's two things I'm really interested in. A, what we talked about with, does he talk at the game? I don't think he does.
Yeah, I don't think
because there is a football coach on the sideline.
Yes.
And that guy will probably be retained.
I don't know
who their interim is. Maybe, you know, sometimes it is like
a lifer.
Yeah, Cadillac Williams type. Who's the Miami guy? Or Florida State guy who's done it like three times now.
The defensive line.
Yeah, is it like Alford or something?
No, it's Alford.
Yeah, but it's normally it's a guy who's finishing out the season, and then the new coach, James Franklin in this case, will bring in a new staff. So I don't know if you want to show like, hey, we're just kind of playing out the clock, and here's our new guy. Maybe you just show him on the Jumbotron. But not like have them be like we're going to build something. We're turning a new page.
Yeah, it's a little different because like when Cignetti's doing it at an Indiana basketball game, he is not taking over for the Indiana basketball coach.
Just the interim or fired or whoever the football coach is not in the building.
Yeah, Odell Higgins is the Florida State.
Odell Higgins,
D-line coach.
Yeah, so. I think I was thinking of the old AD that they had, Mickey Alford. I think that's it.
So that one, if you go by line, shouldn't be competitive. Miami's over a two-touchdown favorite. But if you're just looking to laugh at some team because mm-hmm. they think they should be involved in the playoff discussion and they blow it, that would be the team to look at. That,
I mean, Miami is just perpetually on Schadenfreude watch.
But you know how this is actually going to go. They'll win this game quite easily because beyond all the extracurriculars, VTech stinks.
Yeah, those Penn State, ex-Penn State commits, now probably Virginia future Tech. Virginia Tech commits, they're not going to be on the field.
Yeah.
Those guys are pretty good.
And I don't know that I don't know that the Virginia Tech team currently cares that much about the head coach who they aren't in contact with that much anymore.
Yeah, the second part is the only thing I could see is a little bit of let me prove why I don't need to get called into his office and probably have a nicer, you know, he probably will phrase it nicer than Deion Sanders taking over Colorado, but I don't want that situation where James Franklin is saying, I'm bringing my own luggage and Slewy to, you know, me, a hokey outside linebacker.
Yeah, other than that game, other than the games we mentioned, it's not a lot of.
It's light.
Yeah,
it's a light,
light slate. You're hoping, if you're looking for an upset, this would be the week. Maybe Pitt kind of screws around with the ACC title picture for Georgia Tech. That's another game. That's later in the evening at 6. So that's the other one to point to. Pitt was awful against Notre Dame, but their coach told you they
all according to plan.
So it doesn't matter.
Yep.
So
I mean, it really was a good result for Pitt. He was okay if they lost by 100.
Yeah.
They lost by what, like 30?
The fact that they held Notre Dame to 30-something points.
Yeah.
It was a good result.
It was a good result.
They even scored a touchdown in garbage time, so credit to them for that.
Oh, yeah, they did.
So 37-15 was a final. So Georgia Tech wins. They're in the ACC title game. Their last game of the year is against Georgia Tech. So if we are looking for the team that, if we just go by the path, is the most likely, because I think if they're not facing a Miami in the Big 12 or the ACC title game, although I think of Miami – if they beat Georgia Pitt, Miami may be out completely. I'm not sure. It's a very complicated tiebreaker. But as far as best teams in the ACC, you have your debate between Miami and Georgia Tech, but I think it's a clear top two. Virginia, credit to you, but I don't think you're that good. So they could end some of this discussion by winning, and then Georgia Tech would be your at least the favorite in my eyes if they qualify for the game to win it and be the ACC representative. So that's the game at night to focus on if you care about the national picture at all. Of course, the Cougs play at 6 as well, the game we talked about by giving away tickets. We gave away a pair right at the start of this hour. We're giving away another pair before we wrap it up. It's Cougs versus TCU. Trying to get to 9 wins, and then, of course, followed up with a 10th. They're not completely out of the Big 12 title picture. They would need to clearly win out and then get a lot of help. But even if you want to put the title stuff on the back burner, a double-digit win season in year 2 and doing it in the regular season, very nice outcome for the Cougs, and they're trying to get to 9-2 against a TCU team who I watched that game because just to see if BYU would get upset, and yeah, you could tell very early last week, not a chance. BYU did whatever they wanted to on the ground. The Cougs aren't built that way, but if you're looking for a way or a path to victory, it'd be to run the ball down TCU's throat. Maybe they didn't want to deal with Provo. Maybe it wasn't for them
I mean, BYU is good. I mean, it falls into one of those underrated, like, it's just hard to win there. I don't know what it is. I mean, might be the elevation, might be it's just, I don't know, an insane atmosphere. Hats off to them. But it's one of those that you think, you know, all the best college football home venues, it's like Death Valley, and they're all, like, belligerently drunk and whatever, and then you go, BYU is also very tough to play in. It's like they're not belligerently drunk, they're fueled off of just pure pure excitement for football. So yeah, it's, you know, I don't know if TDCU Stadium is exactly the same atmosphere. Certainly doesn't have its moment, or has its moments where it's not, but as far as, like, the teams on the field, what I've seen from U of H so far, they're a better team than TCU.
And I didn't mention this. BYU does go to Cincinnati, so.
That's another one
to lock in on as far as the
not implications.
Just the Big 12 title race, but also the implications for the CFP.
Miami might move one spot closer to being able to be in the discussion
to be better. Beat earlier in the season. It's great stuff.
And you have the same record.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
They might be honored with
and God forbid if Mizzou wins, who knows?
Now they may be Mizzou 11th.
Now, yeah, they jump all the way up. Hey, great win on the road. That team they just beat Alabama.
They beat the team that beat Alabama.
Yeah. Never mind Alabama lost to Florida State and Miami beat Florida State, but whatever.
That doesn't matter. Week one.
Yeah, it's very true. Darrell, I see you. We'll get to you. Well, at least I see your name up. We'll get to you when we come back. Hold through the break. You want to talk Texans. Anyone else want to get in? Do so now because we got Michael Carroll Cunn up here, unless you're waiting for him. He will talk movies and television with us in a little bit. But, Darrell, you want to talk Texans? Anyone else? 713-780-3776. Sean and I here at Taqueria Sarandas till noon. We'll be back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
To the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at Taqueria Sarandas in Cyprus. Here's Del Olalea.
If you missed out on your chance to win tickets to see the Cougs, we'll do that here shortly, but let's get to Darrell first. He wants to talk to Texans. What's up, Darrell?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I just would like to say, hey, that's a pretty impressive win that the Texans walked away with last night. But I was just thinking about something. You know, this squad that's around Mills, right, you got to think about it. He have the weapons that he have around, the weapons that's around Mills, okay, when he was the starter, he never had no defense, nor no weapons like this. And it makes you wonder, like, man, okay, I know the Texans, they're going to insert – C.J. Stroud back in, you know, when they play Indianapolis. But it makes you wonder, okay, if C.J. starts to struggle and say, like, he just can't get it together against Indy, are they going to let him ride out and try to play through his struggles, or are they going to snatch him and then put Mills in? Because, man, hey, I ain't going to lie. That boy Mills looked deadly with the weapons that's around him. See, he had the type of weapons when he was the starter. But, I don't know. I just would like to get you guys thought. I'm going to get out here. What do you guys think?
Appreciate it. It's a good note to mention that as bad as those times were in 21 and 22, yeah, Davis Mills didn't perform great, but there were bigger problems than him surrounding that team. The difference is from year to year when it came to two different coaching staffs. It was a team I'm not sure. Well, I can be pretty clear or sure they weren't really trying to win football games at the time. You hire David Culley, and then you bring Lovie Smith on as your, hey, we don't want to get sued option. So, and Lovie Smith acknowledged that, and that's why he got the money that he got and the deal that he got. So, yeah, Davis Mills wasn't in an optimal situation. But to your point about what would happen, I think they are going to let CJ play the entire year. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, if he gets hurt again, then sure, Davis Mills and Cerner back in. But I don't think if CJ's playing them out of the playoff picture, they're going to bench him. It'll just be, hey, you know what? He had an off back half of the season.
Yeah, I think CJ is still in the, like, hey, we're going to ride or die with CJ Stroud. Like, if we lose because of CJ Stroud, like, we're just going to lose because of CJ Stroud. I think that's where it is. And Darrell did bring up a good point of, like, I remember Prime flashed up the graphic on last night's, first drive. Davis Mills, like, record as a starter. It was 21?
And 22,
and 22. 21 was, like, 2-9. 22 was 2-10 or 3-10. And this season, now it's 3-0. I think that does speak to what Darrell's saying, that this is a better team. I think Davis Mills is a little bit more polished as a passer than he was as a rookie in sophomore, having to play with those teams, with that surrounding talent. I think he looks more comfortable out there. But just comparing how this offense looks like this year with CJ Stroud versus the last three games with Davis Mills, it doesn't look that much different. It looks a little bit crisper, but I don't know if that's Davis Mills or just, you know, Nick Haley coming in, you know, still coming into his own as a play caller, getting a bigger contribution of last night, especially from Higgins. Higgins actually is making a little, you know, making some plays out there, and they're definitely targeting him more. So I think it's more comparing the two quarterbacks, what you've seen this year out of them, than Davis Mills in 21-22 versus 25.
If you're looking at the two, I guess the one thing Davis Mills has done, he is not taking sacks that crush you. Look, the Titans got after him a little bit. The Jags, a couple sacks. Of course, he didn't get sacked last night. But you don't see the drifting sacks that would crush a drive that CJ got.
And what do they say about sacks? Quarterback stat.
Yeah.
They are quarterback's bet. I mean, I know back when Deshaun Watson played here, that was something at least I was always aware of like, he takes a lot of sacks because he's taking a lot of sacks. I think there's a little bit that he's not as bad as Deshaun Watson at this aspect. I think there's a little bit there with C.J. Stroud where he hangs on to the ball an extra bit. I mean, Joe Burrow's like this a lot. So it's not like a huge knock that you can't be a good quarterback and take a lot of sacks. It does open you up for injuries, and maybe you miss some time. But I think it's fair that Davis Mills is better at avoiding sacks or not being in the position where he is taking a sack than C.J. Stroud. He can't scramble as well, but he doesn't take – in the pocket, he just gets rid of it way better.
He's certainly aware of his limitations, and he knows his team. And as long as you don't put your defense in bad spots, you're going to have a real chance to win. In fact, he talked about that. We'll hear from him on that right now before we go to break. He was on the prime set, and they asked him about playing right now with the defense that he has, and here's what he had to say.
I think the big thing is spreading the ball around and kind of being the facilitator for the offense and letting your playmakers make plays. When you got a defense like that on the other side of the ball, I mean, the biggest thing, protecting the football and keeping drives alive, because they're going to keep giving you chances, especially with the takeaways, the stops, the turnover on downs. Like, when you got a defense like that, I mean, you're in every game, so you just got to take advantage of your opportunities and play a clean game.
Yeah, and he has done that. He did throw the pick early against the Jags, but didn't turn the ball over, I believe, last week against the Titans, and didn't do it this week as well. So where he is as a quarterback is one that he knows. I'm not a playmaker. I'm not an extender. I need to get the ball out. I need to be playing in rhythm and in the system. And if it doesn't look good early, let me get rid of the football and let's go to the next play. The worst thing you can do is ruin field position or turn the ball over when you know your defense is going to put you in advantageous spots, as long as you are playing it safe.
Did the Texans get a steal by locking them up for $6 million in 2026?
A steal because your backup quarterback will be locked in and
is decent.
I mean, we're at a point where your quarterback has missed multiple games 2 years in a row.
It's not something where he's played well and you're thinking, oh, you might flip him for a draft pick. Because, A, I don't think he's played so well that, like, a quarterback-needy team is going to be like, sign me up for that. Or one of those, you know, he'll start for the first five games of the season, then the first-round rookie will play. I don't think he's in that boat. I think he is a good backup. I think he's just that's where he's at right now. At this point of his career, he's a good backup to have. I don't know if he has, you know, upside as a starter, but with this defense, and he knows it, all you need is a good backup.
Yeah, and the stat popped up on Prime yesterday. C.J. Stroud's now missed five games due to concussions over his first two seasons. It needs to be part of the equation.
Three seasons.
Oh, yeah, first three seasons. Two out of three seasons he's missed games with concussions. It needs to be part of the equation, and if Davis Mills is simply the insurance because –
You might be out a couple
might,
weeks.
Yeah. And once he – and, of course, I've seen it not up close, but I've seen it with the team I'm watching other than the Texans every Sunday. The safety and concern about a quarterback who deals with concussions, the time miss gets extended because you are so worried that after he gets the first one in season, you don't want another one stacking on top of it, considering he's already had a couple of injuries. So – Do I think if CJ unfortunately has another concussion that he's going to just miss one game? No. I think where we're at now is whether it comes down from on high, which people think that, hey, little whispers here from the NFL, or simply just the Texans being careful with their franchise, any CJ Stroud injury that's has to do with a concussion, I would say just bank on it being multiple games. And if it's going to be multiple games, then you have to need, you have to have a guy who understands what he can and can't do in the offense, and Davis Mills fits that. All right, we'll go to break, and we'll, when we come back, we'll be joined by Michael Carroll. He hosts Comicast. He does that with John Lee, and you can find that podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. He'll join us to tell you what you should and shouldn't watch this weekend. But before we go to break, let's say caller 3 at 11:40. Caller 3 at 11:40 wants a pair of tickets to watch the Cougs, the 8-2 Cougs, who are nationally ranked, have senior day. It's their senior game. They're going to honor their seniors. And when they say come early, they mean it, because they walk the seniors out with their family before the game. That's when they get that honor. So if you want to be there for that, get there early for that game. Tickets start at just $25 if you don't win the tickets at 11:40. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. Be there early. Be loud. Wear red. Honor those seniors at senior day for the Cougs. We'll be joined by Michael Carroll when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
So we're here at Taqueria Sonandas here in Cyprus, and they got the TVs on, and Pat McAfee is on, and it went from like Toro, not that Toro, because he doesn't speak, not that he was a guest, but they showed one of his like
high-flying
act things. And then now they shifted to Dan Lanning. As the Ducks
Oregon propaganda has been on the screen for 10 minutes.
All that propaganda will sound a little false if they don't beat USC this weekend. They have, and game day is going to be there for that. So that is something to watch on Saturday. But if you want to get away from college football for whatever reason, Michael Carroll, who's in studio back at the station, can give you some options on other television and certainly movies as well. What's up, Michael?
Hello, Dell and Sean. I am a little disappointed that I am not there with you. If you could save me some Taqueria Sarandas, that would be greatly appreciated.
Save you food? What do you mean save you food?
Save me food, yeah, doggy bags.
It's not a buffet. What are you talking about?
I didn't get an invite, so I don't get the food. So I was just, just saying.
What do you want? You're not even in on Monday. What are you talking about?
You didn't have to reveal that part of the bit.
So the illusion.
So you want me to do all this work and then just what? Not have you in for a week?
I didn't think the whole plan through.
You might get Thanksgiving leftovers before you get Taqueria.
By the way you're talking,
Are you saying that's an option? Because I'll take it.
Thanksgiving. Right. I'm not going to be in town.
Fine.
You have to stick with a sweet potato casserole. Sorry. Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast.
More for me.
Issue 621 is available now. You can listen to him and John talk about the Jimmy Olsen show, which is in the works. So if you like Jimmy Olsen from the new Superman movie, you're going to get a little bit more of him, it looks like. So speaking of that, Task has been renewed for season 2.
Yes.
It will have Mark Ruffalo in it as well.
Two investigators of similar stature, Tom Brandis and Jimmy Olsen.
That's
my guy.
That's right. Now, they had different vibes in their projects that they were most recently in. Jimmy Olsen was a bit of a smooth operator, and Tom Brandis
doesn't give a sad sack.
He's kind of a sad sack, but he came through at the very end and became the great dad that we all knew he could be. Even
spoiler.
You don't know which person he was just great dad to.
I guess.
Yeah,
I guess.
Could be someone new. Who knows? All right, so you can listen to that issue. It premiered or dropped, however you want to put it, on Wednesday of this week. It's issue 621. So, Michael, other than what people can hear on Comicast, did you see another movie this week early?
I did. I saw Rental Family starring Brendan Fraser and Mari Yamamoto, I believe is her name, Akira Emoto, just a great cast, great film. Rental Family, of course, it's more of a feel-good than some of the recent films I've watched. It's set in modern-day Tokyo and follows an American actor, played by Brendan Fraser, who struggles to find purpose until he lands an unusual gig working for a Japanese rental family agency and playing stand-in roles for strangers.
So what does Rental Family entail?
So it, rental,
as far
what oh,
the,
go ahead.
The title makes me think that with Brendan Fraser in Japan makes me think like he's a surrogate dad or some sort. What is it? What does
well,
it mean?
That's the thing. In this movie, you see like this agency. They're called Rental Family, and so you they have different services that they offer. So like you are basically in a sense lying to these people and playing these roles. In one of the agency opportunities he has, he is supposed to act like an interviewer for an older gentleman who used to be a former actor, famous actor in Japan, and he's supposed to act like he's interviewing him for a magazine article or something like that. And he's not obviously doing that, but he's just basically there to spend time with him. In another one, he is hired on to just be a person's friend for a little bit. Another one, he is hired to be a father to a young girl, but the little girl is being lied to. So that you can see the problems that kind of develop over the course of that movie with the direction that the Rental Family takes. But what it does take is a really good story that subverted my expectations. I think it's one of the more, like, it's feel good, but done in a way that subverted my expectations in what I was expecting. I was expecting certain things from Brendan Fraser's character, and it's not that. It will probably have you crying a little bit, but it'll also have you laughing throughout. And it's a really good film. It's a tough weekend because obviously Wicked for Good is the big one that's releasing today, and it's tracking to be like 150, 200 million. It's going to be a ridiculous opening. But Rental Family, if you're looking for something different, I would highly, highly recommend it because I think it's one of the better movies of the year. And just showcasing that human connection, moving performances throughout. Brendan Fraser is great, but the entire cast does an incredible job throughout this movie.
Now, the most important question is, will Sean have to read the movie?
Yeah, a little bit. It's like a good mix. Okay. It was more subtitles than I expected, but again,
sorry,
that's,
Sean.
Yeah, sorry. Sean. Sorry. You may be out on that. So
it'll be streaming. It'll be streaming. I'll check it out.
Which sucks because.
It sucks. Having to read sucks.
No. It sucks because that I think Sean, the way you're saying it is going to be what a lot of people are going to say about this movie, especially because, oh, we're going to go see Wicked on the big screen, blah, blah, blah. And Rental Family, oh, I'll catch that on streaming. Oh, I'll catch that.
Yeah.
I think
it gets back burnered.
It's going to get back. We were talking about that during the screening on Wednesday night. Like, this is such a good movie. It's maybe going to be buried this weekend. And I just want people to, like, know. Like, this one and another one that I'll highlight here in a bit. Don't sleep on these because these are getting rave reviews. 87% right now with Rental Family.
Huh?
It's well worth anyone's time. It subverts my expectations on what I was going into it thinking I was going to get. And, again, the cast is great. It's shot beautifully well. Story's really good. Funny. It's a really good movie. One of the better movies of the year.
Yeah, you mentioned that that Brendan Fraser is going to be playing not different roles, but different roles in the you know, as a rent-a human.
Yeah, human. Yeah,
is he going to be like a Glenn Powell vehicle wearing different disguises as he does this, or is it all Brendan Fraser?
No, it's just Brendan Fraser. Like, okay. He's not.
That's why Glenn Powell isn't in this movie.
Yeah,
they're like,
exactly.
You can't wear a fake mustache. He was like, for that reason, I'm out.
I can't.
I'm doing Running Man and Chad Powers instead.
I can't wear fake prosthetic makeup and all that. No. Then I'm out. Yeah,
Had to ask that follow up.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser is disguising himself as people, but he's just Brendan Fraser throughout.
Okay.
And I think his earnestness is what is another standout for why this movie is so good.
All right, so that's Rental Family. You can see that in theaters. And look, maybe you want to be entertained by singing along the lines of Dorothy and the Scarecrow and the Cowardly Lion. Not me. Go see Rental Family if you want to make the right choice.
Yeah, defy this.
Yes. Oh, we're never going to see Dorothy because it's more about the two witches. Whatever. Great. Singing to push the story forward. Great. Rental Family. Is this Brendan Fraser singing this movie?
No. He speaks a lot of Japanese, though.
It's fine with me.
He's very good. He speaks a lot of Japanese, and it's very good.
Brendan Fraser over Grande.
There's also
that's what I'm about.
It just hit me. There's also Takashiro Hira from Shogun. He's also in this movie. He's really good.
There we go.
And you said Madi Yamamoto, right? Mm-hmm. She's in Monarch Legacy of Monsters.
Yes.
If you recognize the face, it'll be from that. If you watch Apple TV, so that is your choice for. At least that's the movie you saw leading up to this weekend. Anything else in theaters beyond Wicked for people to see, or like you said, that's just going to dominate. And if you don't want to see that, maybe you need to just stay home.
Wicked's going to dominate. I think that's a given. But for folks that are looking for something different, Rental Family, obviously, that's feel good. If you want something that's more action heavy, bloody, John Wick esque. I would highly recommend Sisu Road to Revenge.
Oh, I did see the second one. I saw the first one.
You saw the first one? Okay.
It was crazy. I'm happy to see that they made a second one.
It's like, correct me if I'm wrong, Dale. The best way to describe it is like John Wick set in like World War II or something like that, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And if John Wick was Finnish, yes.
Yeah, and if yes. he was Finnish, yeah. So this one, he's the main character is now not killing Nazis, he's killing Russians. And it's just a insane, over-the-top action. It's only like 90 minutes, so it's a quick watch. Perfect for Sean. Speaks to Sean. But like
just nameless, faceless red shirts to get slaughtered in 90 minutes?
There you go.
Let's do it.
See,
older lead action star?
Yeah.
Let's go.
And like Michael mentioned, not only is he just indiscriminately killing people like John Wick, he also has a legend around him,
right.
Like the Baba Yaga.
So he's
this legendary soldier.
There's a
soldier.
Mythos to
exactly. Certainly there is some lore
Love
around
it.
The character.
It's getting rave reviews, 96% with critics right now. So if you want to see something with crazy action set pieces and whatnot, I would highly recommend Sisu Road to Revenge.
I'm in on that. You know, I got some college football to watch, but maybe I'll sneak that in at some point.
Yeah, no Texans on Sunday.
That's true. Maybe a little Sunday matinee to watch Sisu Road to Revenge. All right, Michael, so you gave us a couple in the theaters that are a go. Anything that's a no for the theaters, or just simply we can move on to television and staying home and watching something?
I debated on whether I should share this one, but this is a re-release that just – it caught my eye. I think it's going to be a terrible movie. And it's watching the trailer, it's a terrible movie.
Okay.
But the title is what brought me in. It's a re-release of a 2020 film called Killer Raccoons! Two!
Dark Christmas in the Dark?
Yes.
Why multiple darks?
I don't know.
Why not just Christmas in the Dark? Or Killer Raccoons 2, Dark Christmas.
Why is there exclamation points after the 2 in the Killer Raccoons? I don't know.
He's right. There's Killer Raccoons, .2, Dark Christmas in the Dark, ..
A parody of Dark Siege and Speed 2 that will leave you with your jaw on the floor.
Wait, so they're on a boat?
No. The train.
It's the train.
The raccoons are on a train.
Well, insane.
Speed 2 is cruise control. I thought it was okay. Okay,
well, you can't be so dead.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah. It's
can't
inspired
so on the
by.
Nose.
It's
yeah.
not.
It,
yeah,
yeah,
you gotta be.
They elevated it. The material
is there? Is there a surfer boy raccoon like Keanu Reeves or Michael? No, it was Mike. It was Patrick, right? What was the guy's last name? So, the one who did number 2, Speed 2.
Yeah,
Jason Patrick.
Jason Patrick.
Jason Patrick. Yeah.
Credit to Sean. What a pull.
The dumbest knowledge possible is what I have.
There's no surfer, but there is raccoons dressed as like elves.
I do see raccoons with the Santa hats on.
Where they go, Arizona Wildcats? Is that in any of the material?
I don't think so. But
okay.
That's
more for Speed 1.
Yeah, I think if you watch the trailer, you'll be good enough on this movie.
I'm looking at a trailer where a raccoon is holding a rifle with a scope on it to its eye.
You know what? I'm just going to type this into my YouTube so, you know,
you
pop
go.
Up. I can't watch it right now, but I'll.
It's on Tubi and it's for free, right?
Oh.
So you can watch
so
it.
So you can go
soon
watch it
home.
For free.
Yeah.
Oh. Or if you want to go to the theater and experience this, it's a limited release, but hey, there's that for you.
You got to know you're in a janky ass theater if Killer Raccoons 2 is something that they're showing.
If I see that on the listing on the board.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. What?
So you got that. And then next week, just really quickly, Zootopia 2 comes out on Wednesday. Eternity comes out on Wednesday. And Hamnet comes out on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, Michael, like all of us, obviously won't be here next Friday. So he's giving you some stuff for next week. All right, we got a couple more minutes to go. Let's move to the home. If people don't want to go out, but they want to watch something, whether it be a movie that's streaming now or some television, what do you got?
There's some good releases. There is an awards contender out this weekend called Train Dreams, which stars Joel Edgerton and Felicity Jones. And it's based on a novel by Dennis Johnson and is a portrait who's about a man, Robert Rayner, whose life unfolds during an era of unprecedented change in early 20th century America. It's getting rave reviews right now, 96% with critics, 84% with audiences. Seems like a contender for some Oscar noms later this year. So definitely, if you want to check out something that's more like award-worthy on Netflix this weekend, Train Dreams might be something you want to try.
I'm looking at just the images. Doesn't look like a lot of laughs. We know what we call these. White people bummer movie.
I didn't hear Mark Ruffalo in this one.
He's got a white people bummer TV show that he's doing.
Exactly.
He's too busy.
He said no to this. Edgerton's had to step in.
Yeah.
This is prime white people bummed out movie.
Yeah. Great. If you want to be sad for an hour and 40 minutes.
There you go.
Maybe there's some uplifting notes in between. Train Dreams.
Sounds like Train Dreams. Killer Raccoons! Exclamation point!
Ooh,
2.
A double feature. Both have trains.
Bring you down, pick you back up.
Yeah,
pick you back up. Exactly.
I assume. Maybe the raccoons have a tragic tail.
Maybe they lose the ball.
A tragic multicolored tail.
We didn't ask enough questions. Are they fighting other raccoons? Or are they trying to kill humans? What are they doing? Like possums? Is that the enemy?
No,
what are they
doing? Humans and the raccoons are fighting.
Okay.
Classic enemies.
Yeah,
throw the record books out when those
No Rocket Raccoon being friendly in this one.
Okay. Well,
pick a side, Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah. That's right. Who are you going to side with?
Yeah.
So human versus raccoons. Okay.
There you go.
I imagine the raccoons will win somehow, some way.
Humans, 31.5-point favorites against raccoons.
Giant upset, the raccoons.
They are
Saturday.
Killer raccoons.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, he can hold a gun.
That's why it's not 38.
He can hold a rifle with a scope, so he's got a shot.
I should also say a lot of the shots in that trailer showcased like...
Practical shots?
Practical shots. They showcased people, you know, going up against these raccoons, and it screamed like old episodes of a sitcom where... You have an animal attacking one of the characters, but it's obviously a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
And so they're having to ride around and all that.
I was going to ask, is it CGI or is there some practical effects with these raccoons?
This is all practical.
you're not turning me away.
Yeah. because it's on Tubi.
If I can find Tubi, I may watch this thing.
I figured it. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I probably will watch this.
I'm glad that this has become the top pick of the weekend for you guys.
you started with all those exclamation points. How could we not?
Everyone in line at the Regal I go to is going to be dressed as
cosplay raccoons.
Yeah, I'm going to be
Christmas
in there.
Theme raccoons.
So you're saying the Family Plan 2 with Mark Wahlberg and Michelle Monaghan is not on your radar this weekend?
It's on my radar. It's on my radar.
I know it exists.
Come on.
It's on my radar.
Wahlberg's always on my radar.
Doesn't mean I'll watch it. So is that what's the review on that? What do people think about Family Plan 2?
I would skip out on it.
All right.
I would just skip out on it. I just wanted to bring it up just because, it's out.
It's a Mark Wahlberg movie. You have
it's
to bring
available.
It up.
Yeah, yeah. Apple TV if you want to check that out. Man on the Inside, though, season 2 on Netflix is out now. Of course, this is the Ted Danson series. He's back this time, not investigating a retirement home, but investigating like a university after something happening with a university president. So you got that, and it looks good. And then The Mighty Nine on Prime Video. I would highly recommend that. That's from the folks behind The Legend of Vox Machina. 100% right now on Rotten Tomatoes, 95% with critics. That's one I would definitely recommend for folks that
just
are
fans. People who are unaware of Vox Machina, The Mighty Nine is an animated series, but it's, you want to call it, for I won't say for adults, but it has adult themes. It's not something that's just... a kiddie show if you want to watch an animated TV series.
It's a more character-driven show compared to even Legend of Vox Machina. So.
Yeah. So you hear that music, that means we're done, Michael. Thank you for giving us Killer Raccoons.
You're welcome.
Pretty much. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
You can listen to Michael Kerr on Comicast with John Lee, wherever you listen to podcasts, and generally Wednesdays from 7 to 8 here on ESPN 97.5. That music means we're done for the day. I want to thank Sean for coming out here. We're out in Cyprus at Taco de Sorandas. We're done for the day, but you guys can come out here and enjoy the great food. Well, at any Taco de Sorandas, but this one we're at specifically. Since we're done for the day, AJ, what does that mean?
Hey, give me some of that salchicha.
That's right.
I think I heard Lance say that before he left.
Before he ordered his breakfast tacos. Yeah. He did say that. All right. Thank you, Michael, once again. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, AJ. Appreciate you. We will talk to you on Monday.